focus on the senior high, and then amongst the senior high, I focus on the graduates. I've got, you know, about 35 seniors that just graduated that are going into, some of them are going to ministry, some of them are sticking around here. We're praying that all of them are faithful. But they've got to be plugged in and connected before that moment of graduation comes. If graduation comes and you're scrambling to get them connected, to give them a sales pitch to stay in church or to guilt them to stay in church, it's too late. Too late for that. You got to start earlier than that. So involving teens, here's a few thoughts. First of all, endeavor to lead with godly passion. Endeavor to lead with godly passion. I would say it starts with you. That no one's going to be involved if you're not involved yourself and excited about this. I'll tell you one story real quick. I got this email from Jim Shetler. I think he's doing another one of the youth sessions. How many of you guys know Brother Shetler? He's like the most positive guy I ever met. Actually, like, too positive. It kind of scares me sometimes when I'm around him. But I got this email, and my dad was included on it, about an event that I was going to do with Brother Shetler. And I looked at the calendar, and I wasn't really excited about the timing of it. I wasn't really excited about the event itself. And I kind of developed this bad attitude. Like, I don't want to do this, you know. And so he's like, he called me on the phone, Brother Shetler, and he's like, "Hi, Larry, I'm going to come talk to you. We're going to talk about this event." You know, I'm like, all right. And I already have this bad attitude, you know. My heart was hard. Okay, so he comes over to my office, and he comes in there, and he's like, "Hey, Larry, let's just pray about this." I'm like, "Okay, if we have to," you know. So I'm praying, you know, and he's like, "Dear God, I've just prayed this. And he got done praying, he looked at me, he's got tears in his eyes, like, "I'm so excited about this, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pumped," you know. And I'll tell you what, man, his excitement was contagious, because we walked out of that meeting about an hour later, and I was excited about it, and he was passionate about it. It made a difference in me. So it starts with passionate leadership. Passionate, godly leadership. First of all, it's authentic. And it seems like this is a point we talk about every year, but you can't manufacture this. If it's not real, it's not real. And if there's a group of individuals who can spot that it's not real in your life, it's teenagers will spot it a mile away. And so passionate leadership is it's authentic, and then it's magnetic. It's magnetic. If you get it excited about something, others will be excited as well. The Bible talks about being followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And I think of the Apostle Paul, and I can just imagine you sense. We just took our teens through the book of Galatians. We're just wrapping up that book. But man, you can sense, and as you read through that passage, man, his fervor, and he was passionate about what he believed and what he taught. So godly leadership is also magnetic. John Maxwell said, "A leader is the one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." And your teens are never going to rise above your level of involvement, your level of commitment. So start from the top and endeavor to be passionately involved. And I know sometimes through different seasons of ministry, it's hard to be passionate. I remember a few years ago, it was on me and my wife's anniversary that this kid ran away from home, you know, and we went and helped to track him down, bring him back. His parents didn't even care, you know, and it's just, it was like the worst time. Sometimes spiritual warfare comes at like the worst times. But endeavor to lead with godly passion. It starts from the top. Second thing here, always keep the local church in perspective. I'll talk about what that means in a second. But keep the local church in perspective. Here's the problem I see sometimes. And I see it sometimes in our youth group. And we have to confront it and deal with it at times. But I know it exists, is that we get tunnel vision. And And sometimes it's the most well-intentioned, passionate individuals who can get tunnel vision around a program of the youth ministry. And this is what we're doing. Not that's happened to me before, where the church is doing, here's what's happening. The church is doing one thing, and the student ministry and the youth group's doing another thing. And now we've got this great divide, you know, between the two. And so you've got to keep the local church in perspective at all times. Like I said, it's too late to wait until someone graduates to try to teach them, instruct them about the local church. I mentioned with our seniors, the last few weeks that we've had in Sunday school with them, we've gone through the church covenant. We've had them sign, because it's interesting. When you have someone that comes into the church that maybe they're brand new, you cover a lot of those things in detail. You want to make sure, you know, you're discipling them, you're teaching them, you're going over, you know, certain aspects of what your church believes. Well, I think sometimes we got this blind spot, and it's in student ministries when they come up through junior high and then into high school, and then they just kind of roll over into singles ministry. If we're not intentional, there can be a blind spot there where they can just roll over into church membership but not really know what it means to be a part of an active local church, okay? So what does that mean? Keep the church in view theologically. This is something that I try to do from at least once or twice a year is talk about what the church is, okay? Because the church is not, it's not, it doesn't compare to a social media app. It doesn't compare to anything else. It is a living body of believers, called out believers, that Christ purchased with his blood. So you got to talk through the church theologically. What does that mean? Polity, how the church functions, okay? Community, they can't experience biblical church community through social media. They can't experience what the Bible talks about, fellowship, and that type of community at school or on a ball field or anything like that. That is only comes from the church. Church unity. I make a point to talk about the fact that the church is one body, many members. And so as a youth group, we're not a part of the church. We are the church. We're just as much the church as any other part of the church. And I try to always make a point of that. And I talk about unity. And this is one thing that I don't think I've ever taught on unity where I didn't have a good response, where there was some disunity even amongst our youth group. And so unity, and then the priority being the Great Commission. So keep the church in view theologically, but then keep the church in view practically. Practically. Here's what I mean by that. The programs of the youth group should reflect the priorities of the church. The programs of the youth group should reflect the priorities of the church. So here's what I do. We have a weekly leadership meeting where I sit at the table with my dad and the other associate pastors of the church, and we talk through church calendar and church programs. Here's what we're doing next. And we go through different seasons. We have seasons where we have, you know, a big offering maybe coming up, or there's a missions conference coming up, or you know, even leadership, and we'll talk through those on the church level. But as a youth pastor, one of my jobs is to say, now how are we going to implement this for our teens? You know, that's why I think you might have seen some of our teens. They're shining shoes, they're passing out water bottles. A lot of them came in early before the conference, and they helped to prepare meals. That's scary, but we got them involved. And what we did was we took the already existing calendar of the church and tried to adapt that for our teens, okay? We do that another way, like, I'll mention this in just a second too, but our advance offering, our church has a big offering. So now we've adapted the vision from our pastor and made it to where the teens can connect with that. And it's not something separate that's going on. It's in tandem with the church. And so when the church goes through a revival or a conference like this, or whatever it may be, we try to think of how can we adapt this to the teens and think on behalf of the teens. When we're at the table and we're talking through calendar, we're always thinking on their behalf, you know, their schedules, what they may be going through in life, what they just experienced or will experience. So the programs of the church should reflect the priority of the youth group. Make edification a priority over entertainment. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 4 about for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we got to be doing everything we can to build and invest into our teenagers. And that has to become the new measuring rod of student ministry, okay? Because with the availability of everything on the internet and just the changing culture, like it's going to become more increasingly difficult to impress someone into coming, you know? You've got to... and I'm all for, believe me, I'm all for having a nice Instagram account and social media and all that stuff. I try to have nice flyers. I think for us as youth pastors, all the things are given, but they're not the goal. Okay, the goal is to edify them and build them up, and that happens intentionally. That doesn't happen on accident. Which brings us to our third point here, which is place high value on ministry involvement. Place high value on ministry involvement. What do I mean by that? We listened to a podcast as a church staff a little while ago, just kind of a training podcast. It was a leadership podcast. And the guy on the podcast said, ask yourself honestly, what do your actions say that you value? What do your actions say you value? Everyone in this room, you may say you value something, but perhaps your student ministry, the teens of your church, tell a different story. Maybe what happens on Wednesday night or Sunday morning tells a different story than what you... And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can just say we value something, and then there's a disconnect between what we actually value. Meaning this, like, you may say you value Bible study, but if you can't find time to put together a good Bible study, you don't actually value Bible study. You may say you value relationships in your youth group, but if you're not carving out time, and if you haven't spent time with an individual one-on-one, you know, in the past few, you know, at least few weeks, and you're not going systematically and connecting, then you don't at this point, you don't really value that. You may say you value, you know, soul winning for your youth, but if there's no opportunity for them to get involved and get plugged in, then you don't really value it. Maybe it's something that you would want to value. So ask yourself honestly, and that's a convicting question, and something that it convicted me. What do your actions say that you value? And you have to value student ministry, student involvement. That has to become the new measuring rod, greater than attendance or excitement or any of those things. Are they coming? And are they getting involved? Are they getting plugged in? Are they growing? Are they growing in the process? Your teenagers need a few things. First of all, your teenagers need opportunities for training. Opportunities for training. The Bible talks, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. And then I like the second part of this verse. It says, I will guide thee with mine eye. So I'm not going to teach you something verbally. I'm going to come alongside now, and I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to teach you with my eyes. I'm going to see how we're doing on this. So your teens need opportunities for training. So invest in your teens. Like we go through in Bible study, like I said, we make sure that we're training them through certain seasons of ministry. We train them how to minister. I think of some of the functions that we have, like we have our open house in the fall. We go in there and we train them on how they can be involved and how they can make an impact. So it's not a foreign concept to them when we go and we try to recruit them involvement. It's something that we've been talking about and discussing. We've been doing something in the last year, teen discipleship, and people ask me that all the time, you know, teen discipleship. I don't know if anyone's asked you that before, if you've had that question. And we spent some time like looking around for, you know, a good discipleship program. Like, I couldn't find anything that I really liked. And we really wasted a lot of time like trying to find, you know, the coolest, perfect, whatever discipleship. And it just wasn't coming up. And then Striving Together redid their discipleship. And my thought was, I told some of our disciplers, handed this book out and I challenged them to Disciple Teens 101. I said, now this is the adult book, so it might be over their head. And we had eight go through the first round and eight finish. And they came back and they said, it's perfect. They're fine. You know, and I think sometimes we underestimate what our teens can actually handle and comprehend. And I think in our teaching and in our involvement and even in our expectations, we need to raise the bar. You know, sometimes we make this assumption, sometimes they play dumb, but they get it. And so we started that. We have 14 teens right now. And we've never done discipleship for teens. We have 14 teens right now that are more than halfway through this book. That's our second batch. And we have right now, we just have a list, and this is ongoing in our student ministry where we ask people, our volunteers, if you see someone that you think would like to go through discipleship, give us their name, and then from time to time in Bible study, we'll make an announcement. And we got a waiting list because we really do want to keep it one-on-one. And we have Bible study time on Wednesday night, and we'll invite them to come in early. And some of them come early, some of them stay late, but they arrange it with parents, and they're going through this. And so that's one of the ways that we involve them is like, there's got to be that process. And I'm telling you, we've had some teens that have been saved in the last 2 years, that the Christian life is so new to them. You don't just make the jump from, hey, thanks for being here, to let's do this, you know, and we ought to involve them. One thing that we're not talking about today, we're talking about ministry involvement, okay? This is different from just like getting someone to come to an activity. That's not the involvement. You do those things by phone calls and, you know, making connections, have announcing it, things like that. I'm talking about ministry involvement. And one of the things that will help is that if you train in discipleship. So that I'm just saying as a testimony to us, that I'm just still excited about this, that our teens are getting involved. And what I did with this last group of teens is a few of them, the majority of them have been newly saved, but there's a few of them that have been in our youth group for a while. And I asked them, as you go through this, I want you to know that I'm going to ask you next to take another teen through the discipling process. So I want you to take this serious. And they're taking it seriously. And so this next batch, we've already got a waiting list. A few of the individuals who are doing discipleship have just finished it as a teenager, which is pretty cool in my opinion. So opportunities for training. There's got to be opportunities for serving. Serving in the local church, okay? Your teens need to have a job to do on Sundays. And like I said a moment ago, sometimes it takes more work to find them a job or to get them plugged in, but it's worth even making up a job, making up a reason for them. I was talking to my brother earlier. He's like, yeah, I have teens in my youth group that their job is to pass out Bibles. And we have teens in our youth group that are greeters for Sunday school and teens that are greeters for Bible study, and we make up jobs for them, but get them serving and connected in the church. We have teens that are connected in the bus route, and choir, and orchestra, and live stream. I do the live stream ministry, so I'm always looking for someone that maybe has like that technical mindset, or they're just kind of a nerd, for lack of a better term, and get them involved in live stream. And I'm looking for opportunities to get them involved in serving in the local church. We had a few months ago, I had some guys that were helping me in our Bible study, and they did a good job running my sound and stuff like that. But they moved away, and I was left without like a staff personnel to help run my sound for Bible study, you know, which I know you guys all feel sorry for me for that I didn't have, you know, a paid staff person there to run. But I had someone there, and it was kind of a neat thing. And then I didn't, you know, and there wasn't another person on staff to kind of fill that position. So for a few weeks, I walked in Bible study. I'm trying to turn everything on. And I got this guy in our youth group. He's a 10th grader. His name is Chris. He's like the most zealous kid ever, man. He loves serving. And he, one of my youth guys in the back, Tanner, we were talking about it. We were talking about the fact that, man, Chris, you ask Chris to go get a mic stand across the campus, he'll sprint. The paid guys never did that, you know. He'll sprint all the way across campus, and he's so zealous about that. And, man, I'll tell you what, I really like having Chris there and Chris involved in that spot. And looking back on it, I'm like, man, that's better than anyone else having. If I can have a team there in Bible study, and then we start to look at every area. We've had some college students that have come in and helped with music and things like that, and that's great. But last 2 weeks ago, we had our first guy who led music and Bible study that's a teenager. He's going to be a senior this year. And we got him plugged in. And we got a girl in our youth group who plays the piano. And now our teens are serving, because what was happening was in our Bible study, we have college students would come, and it was a spectator sport. Like, they were just there, and we were putting on the service, and they were showing up and leaving, and they need to be involved. They need to be participating, you know. And in student ministry, give them a job to do. And man, teenagers are weird about things. They'll get passionate about things. And if you really want them to take their job seriously, give them a name badge. They love that. And so we did that for our greeters, and they loved having that name badge. But opportunities for serving, then opportunities for giving. And I mentioned this already, but we do our advance offering, and this is just an opportunity that they have where they can be involved in these areas of training, serving, and giving. So serving, I think I missed a point here, serving through the local church, serving in the local church, and then through the local church. So there are some things that you want to try to get as many of your teens involved in ministry on a weekly basis, to where they're regular, they're coming back, and they know that the job that they've been given to do is, you've stressed the importance of that, and that they need to be there, and so they're serving in the church, but then serving through the church. And that's why we have things like have already been mentioned this week, the Love Works opportunity. We're taking a missions trip to the Philippines, different opportunities to serve through the local church. I'll say all of this takes work. Okay, getting teens involved, making it, I'm lost in my outline here, making ministry accessible, and then making ministry personal. That's my next point here. Sorry. I've found my spot now. So making ministry accessible, I think that was a point. You do that through training, serving, giving, and now you make ministry personal. Make ministry personal. Okay, so now to the point where I wanted to say just a moment ago, making ministry personal for the team just requires work. It requires making phone calls. It requires talking to teens. And one of the things we do is our church family has a big open house once a year. So we adapt that, and we have a big open house event on a Saturday night that we called the weekend. But let me show you what it looks like for us to get teens involved. It means for several weeks we're passing out cards, like, where would you like to serve? A lot of these jobs, I'll show you, this is just a part of the booklet that we put together. But a lot of these jobs we even just made up, you know, these different teams that the teens could be. And we had them fill out a card, where would you like to serve? You know, so we had them fill out the card, and then we brought them all back, we plugged everyone in, and then we handed out this. Now, that required us to think through this about 4 weeks out, where we were passing out interest cards, collecting interest cards, plugging people in, passing them back out in Bible study so they can see. But I'll tell you, something happens when they saw their name on the paper. And we gave them, everyone that's on the paper, they got a name badge. The Wednesday before our open house, we had We had team meetings, so if you're on the phone call team, you met with this individual. And we had a staff leader that was overall, but we also put a teenager involved in each of these areas, so they would help to lead it. We had a counseling team, which was pretty cool. We met with all these teenagers, and we walked them through how they could lead someone to Christ. I think, I don't know how many we have listed there, but we ended up having 33 counselors available, and we had 33 teens come forward to get saved. And we had recruited them, we had trained them, got a picture here, the back hallway, they're all spread out and going through the gospel, and we involved them. You know what, they owned it. It was their event, and they were involved, but it takes front-end work. Here's a few thoughts here on making ministry personal, and we'll be done. God desires for every believer to be involved in local church ministry. So your teen should be personally involved because it's what God desires for them. And it's not just like, it's not an option, you know, and I think obviously Jesus led by example in serving, and he was the greatest servant leader. You know, we talk a lot about leadership. He lived and served. You read through Philippians chapter number 2, but his desire is for teens to be involved in ministry. And they kind of understand that this is not an option, an a la carte menu item that they can add if they decide to get more serious for God. God expects them. God's entrusted them with much. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not. So when you're saved, you got plugged in. You got connected. And I think sometimes, at least for us, we have the Bible college here, and so we can have this mentality that ministry, you know, it's just a full-time thing that students come to do for 4 years, and they go off. And what the Bible teaches is ministry is something for all of us to be full-time plugged in. That's what I teach our teens and our graduates, that, hey, even if God takes you somewhere, his desire for you and his plan for you is to be plugged in a local church growing. So help them to understand that. Then help your teens to identify, develop, and steward their spiritual gifts test. And I think they've got these over in the bookstore. Striving Together may have them, but we have a spiritual gifts test, and I give these out to teens. I usually wait till I've given all of these to some of our seniors when they come into my class and we do these senior appointments. But a spiritual gifts test, and that's something that we need to be doing throughout student ministry, is like identifying what their gifts are and helping them to develop them and get plugged in with their spiritual gifts. And so that's something also that's intentional. And here's kind of our spiritual gifts test and what that looks like. And again, I think Striving Together may have this, or it might be over in the bookstore, but we go through these with our teens and help develop and determine what their spiritual gifts are. Next thought here, and we're getting done, we're getting close to the end, is teach God's will in present tense as often as you do in future tense. If you're in student ministry, if you're a youth pastor, you read much, you talk much, you go to conferences and things like that, you'll hear so much about God's will in future tense. We need to make sure that there are plenty of verses in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Romans 12:2, 1 Peter 2:15, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, just a few that talk about this is the will of God, you know. The will of God is as much today as it is tomorrow. And they need to understand that the will of God is for them to be plugged in, connected, and serving, and that happens today. So teach the will of God in present tense as often as you do in future tense. And then here's the last thought, and I'll give you a few things that we've done that worked well for us. And this is huge. Challenge your youth group to take ownership. Some of you maybe have been frustrated in the past. I know I've been frustrated at times, like where you do something, you plan something, and it just doesn't stick, you know, doesn't have that intended effect, you know, and you step back and you're like, all the elements were there. That was a cool activity, or that was a great event, or whatever. And that's happened a few times for us in the last year, where we step back and like, man, what can we do better? And God really pressed on my heart, you can get them to lead, get them to buy into it. So challenge your youth group to take ownership. They got to buy in. And so I started thinking about that. What can we do? So we developed this thing, we call it our Verge Leadership Training Program. Now, we have enough programs around here. We don't need like a new program. This is something else that we developed, and here's how it worked. I mentioned it in Bible study. I said, we're going to have a leadership development program. This is brand new. And if you're interested, come on this day. And I made sure there was a day where they weren't already here, just getting out of school, where they had to intentionally make an effort to be here. Okay. So I put together a lesson, and I'm going to have this leadership training time, and I'm going to treat them like adults. I know they're not, but you know, I'm going to treat them with you know, as an equal, and I'm going to talk through leadership principles. And we had two girls show up, you know, to our leadership training, And I was expecting the number to be low. I kind of wanted it to be low. I didn't want just everyone to come because then I knew it wouldn't be sincere, you know, but like two, I'm like, okay. Felt a little awkward. I handed them the lesson notes, you know. I didn't stand there with just two girls and preach to them, though they probably needed it. I gave them the handout notes. And the other thing that I did, and here's what I started to do, and this was helpful for us, is I passed out our student ministry calendar. And I gave them our calendar and says, here's what we're doing. Never done that before. We've always just kind of threw it up on the calendar. And I asked for their feedback in that moment. And boy, did they have feedback. Like events that I like, they're like, yeah, everyone hates that. I'm like, what? Seriously? You know? I'm like, but you know, that's awesome, right? You know? And they're like, yeah, that was a good idea if you would have done that. Or, you know, they gave me some great feedback. Just two individuals, you know, great feedback. So then what I did was I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try this again. I want you guys to at least bring one other person to this next time we have one. That was a challenge. So we had another event. It was on, you know, a Sunday afternoon, a time where not everyone would be at church. Most of our teens would be at home. And they came back. They had six teens. And we came up with some more ideas. And one of the things that we did was I had this idea to do kind of like a live stream. I called it like a leader cast. I've seen them done before in corporate world where someone will give a leadership lesson through video. I thought, man, it'd be cool to have like a Skype video lesson. And that was my idea, but what I did was I got the teens to buy into it. We talked about, hey, what can we do to develop? And they eventually came up with the idea, well, we should have a time where we get the youth group together. So that was their idea, you know. I'm like, well, you know, we can't really afford to, like, you know, fly someone out for this, but it'd be cool. And we eventually, it took us a while, but we got there, and it was their idea. It was my idea initially, but they cared about it a lot more because it became their idea. Get your teens to buy into that. That goes with all change in church world, by the way, you know. People talk about how we don't like change. People don't mind change as long as they originate it. So if you can buy them in on the change early on, if you can make them think it's their idea. And so that's what we did at this Verge thing. So what I did with those six individuals is we gave them business cards. Business cards are super cheap to print. And we had just personal invitations. So you could come to the Verge leadership training if you got personally invited. And I didn't even announce from the pulpit in Bible study. I just gave them to these six individuals. I said, I want you to identify leaders in our youth group, people that you think have potential. And I gave them 50 cards, and we passed out 50 cards. We had between 40 and 50 there that came to the Verge leadership training. And we had, I have a picture of it here as they kind of gathered in the room. But this is like, this was them inviting teens. We provided the cards. They came up with the idea, you know, and they met. And what we did is I invited Pastor Dean Miller. And this is great if you do this, because if you get someone to speak, you don't have to give them a love offering. You just like, you know, they speak. And so we invited Pastor Miller, and we hooked up the computer, and we did this. I'll show you a little video of it. I'll tell you one other thing that we did ahead of time. Under this thought of challenging your youth group, you have to, first of all, if you're going to get someone involved, you have to ask them. Then you have to allow space for suggestions and feedback. Give them room to grow, because they're going to mess some things up. You're going to put someone in charge of something. You got to be patient with them. Give them room to grow, and then invite them to buy in. And so one of the things that we did was, in preparation for this Verge leadership event, because I wanted it to be substantive, we put together a student ministry evaluation. If you want a copy of this questionnaire, I'll email it to you. If you remember to email me, I'll reply back. But we put together, it was like a 5-page questionnaire. We asked our students how we're doing. And we made ourselves vulnerable. We asked, you know, what are our weaknesses? What can we do? What can we do better on? You know, what are our strengths? And then I took this survey results, and I sent it a few days ahead of time to Brother Dean Miller. Brother Miller was going to do our youth conference, and he's doing our teen camp, but our teens didn't know who he was. So that's why I invited Brother Miller to speak through this leadership Skype call. And it was good. I'll show you a little clip of how it worked here. So that's kind of what that looked like. We had I had a microphone, so I walked around the room, and it was very interactive. That was the thing that surprised me. And it went for 2 hours. Like, invite a youth speaker who will go 2 hours, and you're like, that's way too long. But we went 2 hours interacting And that we could have gone longer. You know, I was feeling bad for Brother Miller to spend all that time. And it was he was connecting. He was remembering different teenagers. So that's just maybe an idea. But I would create an environment where you can develop a core leaders. And then the cool thing happened after that is that when I'd be in Bible study, I would say, you know, this is something that we talked about in the first training for those of you that were there. And they're nodding their heads. They bought into it. So look for ways for them to buy in. So make ministry accessible. It's got to be easy for them to get in. Make ministry personal, and that's where you got to personally connect individuals one-on-one, and everyone on your youth team has to have that mindset. And then last point, just threw this in because it rhymes, so it must be true, make it enjoyable. When you get these opportunities to minister, make sure that you're having fun. And I know sometimes as youth leaders, we think of liabilities and, you know, different, you know, parents, what is a parent going to think of this? But at the end of the day, man, have fun. And if you can connect teens, get them involved, get them serving, and get them having fun, I think we'll see a lot more of them stick around afterwards. So I think that wraps it up.